Welcome to another episode of the Hospitality Mentor Podcast. And today, listeners, we're doing something a little bit different here. I'm doing a solo show, and I'm going to call it the Random Show because it's got a lot of random topics on here. But, you know, a lot of you have kind of set in, like, you don't need a guest every time, Steve. You can do some shows on your own. And that's what I'm going to do today because I've got to experience a lot of things over the last couple of weeks and feel like I can share it here with you. But, of course, before we can do that, I got to talk about Lodgify. Lodgify is a premier software that helps vacation rental companies perform their best. I'm a big fan of them because if you need help with direct bookings, really managing day-to-day so you can focus on the operation, Lodgify is the program that you should be using. And if you are lucky enough to be using it this month, you can use code THM60 to get 60% off their yearly products, and that's THM60. So go make sure to check out Lodgify. But on this show, we're going to talk about a couple things here. Got a couple notes here. One, why I can't stop thinking about the Soggy Dollar Bar, probably one of the most famous bars in the world, and I just had a chance to visit it. And if you're listening to this in the car, pause, type in Soggy Dollar Bar, and you'll see why we're talking about it. After that, I figure we can talk about a couple of the upcoming hotel stays I have coming up in Miami Beach and over at the World of Disney. And then talking about my new hospitality power breakfast that I'm launching. And I might make it a series if you guys think it's worthy of doing that. But I've been traveling a lot the last couple of weeks. And I've been all over the place in 6 weeks. Started in San Antonio for the High Tech Conference, which was the hospitality tech conference. I got to speak there with my friends at Real Time Reservation. I went on a trip with the team at Baia. And we went out to San Francisco where we got invited to the One Thread Farm, which is a farm that supplies One Thread Restaurant, all of their food, and that's the 3 Michelin star restaurants. So really cool that we got invited out there to see what they've got going on. Went into Desert Hot Springs to check out some land that could become a new Baia. And then from there, ended up back in Miami for a couple days, and then got invited out to the U.S. Virgin Islands and had never been before. It was a last-minute invitation and went out there with a group of business owners. And man, I got to say, it was very unique. I can't believe that I had not been out there yet. A short flight from Miami, I think it was about 2.5 hours, and you really end up in a different world. Landed in St. Martin and then took a ferry over to St. John, which has got to be one of the most unique islands I've ever been to. It really feels like you're walking into like the Pirates of the Caribbean movie stage. I arrived there Friday night, had a great dinner at La Vanga Rum Bar. And it's when I started realizing island time there. So I'm not sure if you've been to the islands, but it's very unique where everything is ish. And what do I mean by that? There's signs on the doors where it says, we will open 10 a.m. ish, give or take 15 to 20 minutes. And that was on not just one place. That was on a couple of places that we visited. But, you know, while I was there, a lot of fun. Really enjoyed it. And I didn't realize that St. John is on a national park and got to go see some cool beaches. Trunk Beach, it was beautiful. We got to do some snorkeling there. But one of my favorite things was we got to plan a day out to the British Virgin Islands. So I was lucky enough to be told to bring my passport, which I did. We hopped on a boat that we chartered and headed on over to the British Virgin Islands. And I just want to take some notes here because I want to get this right, because it was probably the most unique experiences I've had, where you take a boat, and that's the only way to get there, over to Joost Van Dyke Island, where you cannot pull in anywhere. You have to anchor and then swim to shore. You swim to shore, so your money's getting wet. I had a waterproof bag that everyone was throwing their stuff in and floated over. But keep this in mind, because as you're swimming to shore, your money gets wet, and that's how you get to the Soggy Dollar Bar. And that bar, man, if you heard that song by Kenny Chesney, No Shoes, No Shirts, No Problem, I think that's got to be written about that place, because Kenny Chesney is very well known in those islands. But it really is something unique. Here's what it looks like. There is a live cam that you can also watch that I got to end up in and call my dad and say, take a look at the live cam. But I'll set the scene. You dive into the water, crystal clear blue waters. You wade up onto the sand and you walk into this bar where they created the original painkiller drink, and it really is a delicious drink. You grab your drink, you order a painkiller, you put your card down or pay with cash, and you mosey about your day. They have beach chairs out there they weren't charging for. My Miami brain was like, oh man, how much are these chairs going to be? There was no charge. And then you sit there and enjoy the vibe with your friends, and you're just like 10 steps away from the water. So I haven't been in a place like that. Like Miami Beach, yes, we have Ocean Drive and you can go get your drinks, but you can't really walk them onto the beach. Alcohol is technically not allowed on the sand, and it's a good, you know, block or two walk. Here's just a couple steps from the bar into the ocean with the most beautiful views you've ever seen of, you know, these, you know, island mountains surrounding you. Looks very much something out of like Hawaii and Jurassic Park, but you're in the British Virgin Islands. Everyone is ultra nice. Everyone is very well traveled. And that was something we realized, that it's hard to get to. You really have to work your way to get there. So for me, a reminder again, I had to fly from Miami into St. Thomas, drive across the island to a ferry, get to St. John, to then charter a private boat to get us to Joe's Van Dyke, where the Soggy Dollar bar is located. And I've got over here the webcam open. I'm just watching on a Friday here. It is packed on the beach there, but everyone looks to be having a good time there. And I'm going to read it for you, because the original painkiller was a drink. I had four of them. It was delicious. I even brought back some cups with me, but it was originated and perfected at the Soggy Dollar Bar in the 1970s when it opened. This smooth, full-flavored rum cocktail has become the essence of the Caribbean. So the correct concoction of premium dark rum, cream of coconut, pineapple, and orange juice. The proportions are secret at this bar, but it's topped with fresh grated grenadine nutmeg, and it makes the swim to the Soggy Dollar worth the effort, is how it reads on there. So it's perhaps it's the setting of the White Bay, the thirst from the swim, the perfect blend, or just because of the tradition. It is really a delicious drink. And look, I've been to a lot of places in my time, and I was thinking about it right now. I would love to be able to just kind of shoot on over there and enjoy the vibes of that bar. And it really is something unique and special. So if you have the chance, make sure to check it out. Yeah, because the three lessons I take from that is that they make the arrival memorable. I remember having to throw the anchor, hop off the boat, swim ashore. You got to get over to the bar, where everyone is really enjoying themselves, music's going, and they make that really a signature event. And then you have the taste of history by having that original painkiller where it was all created. And the other thing too that was interesting is they have a retail shop. And I went in there and they, positioned themselves ultra premium. I was trying to get a cool t-shirt and they were, you know, $50, $60. Same with the hats. A long sleeve that I wanted was $100. So I didn't leave with anything other than the cup that I had, but they really are doing a good job of creating a brand in a really small place on a little beach in the world that is some people's favorites. And I can see why it wins so many awards for being there. So good job, Soggy Dollar team. You did a fantastic job. I can't wait to go back and bring some more family and friends over there. But we're going to talk about some upcoming stays I've got. And, you know, I'm going to make this really unique Florida trip here coming up. It's my dad's birthday. And we are going to be celebrating over at the Marriott Stanton Miami Beach. So something my dad likes to do whenever he goes to, you know, charity events or auctions, he likes to bid on the hotels that are there, because for some reason, a lot of people don't bid on them and he ends up winning a bunch. So he wants to stay at the Marriott Stanton, which is a sneaky good hotel right on the sands of Miami Beach in the South of Fifth neighborhood. And it's got a great restaurant downstairs. It's actually a Michelin winning restaurant called The Den, where it has some sushi. And I actually did a video there like 3 or 4 years ago. So if you find that on YouTube, you can just type in The Den and you'll see where I visited. But we're staying there with the family, my kids, my parents, my brother, you know, making it a family affair on Miami Beach this weekend. And then from there, we are surprising my kids. So hopefully they're not listening to this. We're going to hop on the Brightline train with my friend Patrick Adard and his team. They do a fantastic job. And if you haven't been on the Brightline train yet, make sure to check it out, because it really is, I think, the best way to travel through the state, especially Miami to Orlando. I made the mistake of not doing it back in February, and I got stuck in traffic, which was terrible, and it was pouring rain, and I kept watching the bright line shoot by me, and I was like, never making that mistake again. So, Patrick, I'm going on the train. Now we're going to head over to Disney, and I made this a last-minute trip for the kids before school starts, and all my favorite Disney deluxe resorts were all booked, which just goes to show you how popular it is in the summer. So you really have to plan ahead a lot of times to get to Disney. And we're staying at the Signia by Hilton, which is connected to the Waldorf Astoria, because I'll tell you why I made this decision. This one is the official partner of Walt Disney World, so we get transportation to the park. But they have an amazing pool deck with Lazy River, different pools, lagoon-like service out there. So great for families to be out there and make that a day in itself while we're at the hotel. I always look at these resorts now because they're doing such a great job of selling to you before you even get there. So Marriott Stanton, before I even check in, they're using my friends at Real Time Reservation to use upsells. So like they're, you know, promoting, hey, book something in your room. If you want amenities, you want to do a celebration package, do you want to do a connecting room? Do you want early check-in or late check-out? All those things you can pay for now. And that's powered by my friends at Real Time Reservation. And same thing now at Signia, I'm starting to get over at Hilton. They're starting to do some upsells, but the one who does it best is actually Walt Disney World. We're heading to Hollywood Studios and they just do an amazing job. I just can't believe, you know, how much planning you have to do and how much studying you have to do sometimes to enjoy the parks now. Everything is booked before I even get there. So I got my lightning lanes, which is a way to reserve the rides. I had to be up at 7 a.m. 3 days before because I wasn't staying at a Walt Disney World Resort hotel where you can actually do it 7 days in advance of booking your lightning lane. So I did it this morning, 7 a.m. bright and early, made my reservations, got my lunch reservation, and I'm now paying for photos because I'm going with the family and we want those multi-generational photos. And I think that's really all else I paid for other than paying for the ride to get on Star Wars, which is extra from the lightning lane. So they have a way of making sure everyone pays but still has a good time. So that's why I like Disney. I've been there many times. I feel like I've become an expert there. I feel like they do a great job compared to all the parks that are there. So I'm really thinking about that now as we build out our programs, and especially as I consult for other clients too. How can we remove friction for people to buy things that they like so it doesn't feel like they're being forced upsells? So I really like seeing that and looking forward to that trip. I'd love to see you in Orlando or Miami Beach while I'm there. All right, so this next part has been interesting, and I've been sitting on this for a little bit. I've been looking for a new event to do. So I've been, for those who've been following me for a while, you know, the last couple of years I did my hospitality mentor networking events where I had, you know, 150 to 250 people showing up. They pay for a ticket. They come. I have vendors, music, food, entertainment, and everyone gets to kind of meet all new people. And I really like doing those, but I came away from them wanting to spend more one-on-one time with people. And it was hard for me to be able to do that when you have so many people in that room. I've been thinking about doing a hospitality power breakfast where I invite, you know, a total of 8 to 10 people in a really kind of fun breakfast room or place. And we talk about hospitality. We choose a couple topics and all get to discuss, and it's not just operators. So someone from construction, maybe someone in finance, maybe a developer, a chef, unique personality, and put these people into a room and I get to sit with them and kind of host everyone and see how it goes. So I put it out last night to see how many people would sign up. And wow, I was shocked. I had over 100 people write to me just in these 24 hours. So maybe we're making this a series versus a one-time thing, and I'm trying to figure out how to give it the most value. But what I'm looking to do is the first one, I got offered a really great location. I think that we're going to be doing it there. Not sure if I announced it now or not, but I think I can say it because I'm considering it, is The Moore here in Miami, which is a private members club, but they have a great restaurant. They also have a Michelin chef that's there doing a great job. But I had people from other cities asking me to bring that to their city. And it really got me thinking of, man, maybe I could do this in New York. Maybe I could do this in, you know, on the West Coast in LA. Maybe I could do this in other places because I didn't realize how many people are watching. That's the one thing I've learned is when you start putting out content and podcasts and books and speaking engagements, you don't realize how many people are looking at what you're doing. Maybe, not even if they're always liking or commenting on stuff, but people are usually watching. So for me, it's been interesting to see, but I'm going to be hosting this breakfast. So if you're interested in being a part of it, let me know. You can always reach me on the website. You can reach me on LinkedIn directly and just send me a message if you heard this part. But I'm creating the Hospitality Power Breakfast officially. Going to launch next month at The Moore. We'll be inviting people there. And I think I have to do more than one for sure because I don't want people to get upset if I'm just choosing a handful of people when over 100 of you are interested in doing it. Thinking about what the possible first discussions are going to be. So if you have any ideas, let me know on it. But I think it's going to be something like, what does Miami need from its next generation of hospitality concepts? How do we get stuff that actually sticks and isn't, you know, just a flash in the pan? How do we get places that people want to hang out, become third locations? You know, I felt that a lot in the U.S. Virgin Islands recently when I was there. There's a lot of third locations where people aren't sitting at home. They're out and about. Like, I saw the same people at different restaurants and bars and snorkeling that are all locals. And they just happen to be out and about on their islands. I love hosting events. I think it's just a really powerful way to get people reconnected in this world that we're always on video like we're doing right now, or in our car listening to a podcast. I think it could be good to get everyone together in the real world, shake some hands, make some new connections, and you never know, might make a new friendship. So yeah, that's what we'll be doing very soon. A lot going on in our world. A quick bio update is where we'll kind of finish this. We started to move some dirt around, which is exciting, cleaning up the farm. We're still planning on opening in 2027. It's been very exciting to see the response now. So if you haven't been following us yet, make sure to sign up at Bio Miami on Instagram. Our website should be launching here next week, which is exciting. If not next week, the week after. We put a lot of time and effort into this to really communicate what we're creating at Bio Miami. So that'll be a lot of fun to share with you all. And listen, those are all the updates of the Random Show. This is the first one. I don't know if I'll continue doing the Random Show. I like being able to talk to you this way and just kind of share what I've been seeing out there, what I've been learning. So if you like it, let me know. Yeah, listen, until next time, everybody, stay hospitable.